Now we've arrived at the gospel. And we see now, in very clear focus, vocation. Call. God calls, we answer. Now we've seen this. We just had it with Samuel. God calls. Finally, Eli tells him, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You see? I remember talking to somebody, and I didn't know whether they were supposed to be married or single or a nun or whatever. I mean, I didn't know, but I said, you know, you're looking at this, you say, well, there's four options. One, two, three, four. In other words, you're not really looking at number two. Maybe you're supposed to be. She's married now with a bunch of kids, so that wasn't the case, but wasn't looking at the options. One, two, three. No, you go one, two, three, four. You look at them. If you don't like number two, you go one, two, three. And the Lord said, wait a second. I want you in two. Oh, no. Well, many a person has fought it, finally gave in, and now they're so happy. One way or the other. I remember this lovely woman in one of the French charismatic communities saying, when I understood I was supposed to be single for the Lord, I fought it tooth and nail. And finally I realized, yes, I am. And now I'm happy. I'm where the Lord wants me. Well, so we're having vocation here. The first four who were called by Jesus, as Mark portrays it, okay? After John the Baptist had been arrested, Jesus waited. He and John were both preaching, both baptizing, and John was pointing them to Jesus, but Jesus didn't make his official entry onto the scene, at least as the synoptics present it, until after John had been arrested. And then Jesus came to Galilee, the north, proclaiming, the translation has, the gospel of God. Huh? Kyrison to evangelion tou tegou, the good news of God. Now, that's this word, basar. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the mubaser, of the one bringing good news, saying, you see, your God reigns, Adonai Malak, God reigns. That's a beautiful Semitic way of saying a blessing on the feet of the one who brings this good news. Now, Mark says, Jesus is bringing the good news. You see? After John was handed over, arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the good news of God, and saying that the time has been fulfilled. The kairos, most of you have heard this someplace before, but the Greek word kairos means the specific time, the right time. It's not just time. It's the right time. So the right time has finally arrived. Huh? And the kingdom of God has grown close. Now, the kingdom of God means what? It means that environment in which God reigns. You see, in English, kingdom means like the kingdom of Monaco. Here's a bunch of land marked by borders. That's the kingdom. But the word in Greek and in Hebrew, you see, Vasilia in Greek, and Malkut, Malkuta, and those words, they mean the area of rule, the influence, the rule of God. There's a book I have, and there are many, a man who wrote a whole book on this, and the title of his book is God's Rule and Kingdom. Can you imagine if God ruled the whole world and everybody was happy about it? And one nation got all upset about another, God would step in and say, resolve that this way and don't fight. Oh, thank you, God. It would be great if God were ruling. He's not going to do it because he wants our freedom and to live like Jesus. Huh? This is not suffering less. But he comes preaching the good news. This is the good news that has been prophesied since that text in Isaiah 52. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the one bringing this good news. Saying what? Adonai Malak, your God reigns. He's going to be king. And so he's saying, see, repent. See, and this is every other prophet came and said, repent, because if you don't, there's going to be trouble. This one comes and says, repent, so you can receive the good news, so that you can enter the kingdom. It's a different kind of repentance. It isn't, oh, let's repent before he swats us, like the first text. The Ninevites, they know they're sinning, and if they don't repent, there's going to be trouble. Here, repent, not because trouble is coming, but because the kingdom of God is at the gates. Huh? And the word there is engiken, which means just about here. You see? So what do you do when the kingdom is just about here? You repent. Now, you've heard all this, I think, before. In Hebrew, the idea is you return to God, shuv. And the word for repentance is tshuva, which comes from shuv. Huh? In Greek, it's metanoin, change your whole way of thinking. It puts the accent more on, you know, return to God means change your way of thinking or you would get back to God. But they put it more symbolically. Greek, it says, change your way of thinking. Metanoite. And so our Lord, you see, says, metanoite, and believe the good news. That is, I'm telling you, it's right ready to break in. Ingiken, it's right here, ready to break in. Believe me. Change your lives. Follow me. Listen to me. Because the kingdom of God is about to break in. Isn't it a grace to live in the kingdom? Finally, you see, the kingdom is that place from which God reigns, blesses, converts, saves, heals. And what is that place? Jesus. So after a while, as Origen pointed out a long time ago, the kingdom is Jesus. That's the place from which God exercises his rule. So, you can see that in the Gospels, Jesus is preaching the kingdom, but the apostles are preaching Jesus, because there's where God reigns. That's the place of his rule, his reign, his mercy, his healing. Jesus. Now, it starts here. The kingdom of God is drawing near. Huh? Believe this good news. So, he healed lots of people. He told them about the Father. And you know, he reached out to all the marginalized people in the society. The prostitutes, the tax collectors who were working for the occupation forces and scraping a bit off the top for themselves, you see. Crooks, prostitutes. He went after them. He didn't say, yeah, you can come too. He went after them and said, yeah, you can follow too if you want, you rich, you prosperous, you virtuous. You can come. You see, that's why Origen says the church is Rahab's house. Rahab the prostitute in the book of Joshua. Remember? The spies went into her house and everybody's looking for them because they're spying out to take the land. And so she hit him. I know, she makes a confession of faith there in the book, I know that God's going to give you this land. She said, when you take over, remember me and my house. And they say, tie a red ribbon around your windowsill there, so when we come back, we know which house is the one to be spared. So you see, so Origen says, the church is Rahab's house. We're all just dragged in, for heaven's sakes, sinners. And that's what the Lord is saying here. Repent and believe this good news. Okay, that's his preaching. Now we have the vocation. And going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon. They were casting their nets in the sea because they were fishermen. Now listen to this. You want to have quick obedience? He says, come after me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They dropped everything and went. That's vocation. Now, some people take 10 years to drop everything. The Lord would wish it's a little bit faster than that. But the idea is, turn. Now, what's so beautiful about this is that this fits into the whole process, huh? The caller, it's a biblical way of portraying this. The caller is passing by, and he calls, and the other drops everything and follows. Here's an example. Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was following the 12. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah, saying, please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and I will follow you. This is so Semitic. Elijah says, go back. Have I done anything to you? It's up to you, Elisha. Now, when our Lord hears that same phrase, let me go say, goodbye to my father and mother. And I said, no. This is not Elijah's time. This is Messiah's time. Too urgent. You stay here with me. Urgent. I'm trying to point out the rhythm and how, you see, for those knowing the Bible, as he was passing by, again, passing by, same word, paragon, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's place, and he said, follow me. And getting up, he followed him. Don't waste time. Isn't it what Paul just said? The time is short. You don't have a lot of time to waste. Well, Lord, let me get my whatever first. Let me get a promotion first. Let me. And he's saying, no, come now. So it says here, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Kephtis, which is Mark's favorite word, and right away, leaving their nets, they followed him. And going on a little bit, he saw John, the son of Zebedee, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And they were in the boat, fixing their nets with their father. And right away he called them, and leaving their nets, their father, and so forth, and with the hired hands, they followed him. They went after him. You see, it's urgent. It's urgent. Why? Because we're going to get in trouble? Probably not. If we delay too long, it'll just fritter away. We won't know what to do. No, it's because it's important. Answer the Lord. There are many people going to hear this gospel on this Sunday in the year. Listen carefully, and all the preachers, make sure they hear. What is God calling you to? There are some of you out there who are wasting the Lord's time. And wasting the Lord's time means other people aren't hearing the gospel yet. And they've got to hear the gospel. So drop everything and go. Does that mean everybody do what these people did? That's the paradigm. That's the model. But if you're 3 weeks from graduation, you could probably graduate and then go. Or whatever. The urgency is an important thing, more than the time. But the time is not unimportant. Amen.